Shana Ayusham. A person who have only 100 years of life. Abarata Bhujayarav. A birth in the land of Bharatavarsha. Varam. More valuable. Shanena. For such a short life. Marchena. By the body. Kritam. The work executed. Manasvinaha. Those actually understanding the value of life. Sannyasya. Surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Samyante. They achieve. Abhayam. Where there is no anxiety. Because bhayam means fear. Padam. The abode. Hareke, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Shishi Radharakanta. Translation. A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection even in this short life by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. She can repeat. A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha.
A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha.
Is preferable to a life achieved.
In Brahmaloka,
for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness. And achieve the highest perfection. Even in this short life. By fully surrendering. Unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka. Where there is neither anxiety. Nor repeated birth in a material body. So purport by his divine grace. Shilabhaupad ki jai. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata bhumate hoila manushya janma yar janma sartaka kurikora parupaka. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharatavarsha has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha yishyami ma suchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namas guru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer my obeisances. This is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Chaktvadeham, punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjuna. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. So, Kapayusham stana jayat punarabhavat shanayusham bharata bhujayo varam kshanena marchena kritam manasvina Sanyasya samyancha bhayam padham harehe. So Om Ganati Vadandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. There's many points here in this verse and purport. I'm just going to cover a few of them. First of all, why are the heavenly planets not so desirable for one engaged or one desirous of spiritual life? And the reason is, the reason is that there is so much material enjoyment in the heavenly planets. It's described sometimes as the mangoes, or as big as, let's say, the Empire State Building in New York. And they don't have any skin in them, and they don't have any pits, and there's rivers of mango juice in the Jambudvipa, and you can go swimming in mango juice. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Like Prabhupada said, you know, mangoes are the king of all fruits. And basically, it's practically the topmost sense gratification in eating to eat a mango. In fact, they would generally invite Prabhupada different places when it was mango season. And one time, just to trick Prabhupada, they invited Prabhupada to Hawaii, and they said, it's mango season, but it wasn't mango season. Actually, there were rats running around. And Prabhupada said, it's rat season, it's not mango season. He tricked me. So, just mangoes are the most wonderful fruit. I mean, those of us who were born in America, we didn't know about it until we came in contact with the Krishna Conscious Movement. But nowadays they import mangoes from all over. So anyway, there's mangoes. Everyone is beautiful or handsome, and no one gets old. And even when there's no babies there, no crying. Like those of you who are grahasas know when the little babies are born, they cry, they keep you up all night long, and they drive you crazy. So there, you know, when someone appears, they appear, you know, full born or full grown. So it's basically such a nice place that you forget about all the miseries of material life until you're attacked by the demons, or until Shane Punye Marchalokam Vishanti, until your good karma runs out. Because people go to the heavenly planets by accruing karma in this level of the universe. And then when the good karma runs out, Marchalokam Vishanti, they come again to this planet, Marchalokam, which is the same thing mentioned here, Marcha. Marcha means death. The planet of death. And then they again have to accrue good karma, and then they go up again, and then down, up and down, up and down. And even you have that system in Vedic culture of offering pinda to your forefathers. And that pinda is offered to keep your forefathers in the heavenly planets, especially this planet called Pitri Loka, which is a heavenly planet, to keep them there longer than their good karma would allow, because you're actually paying the bills. It's like sending your grandfather to some old age home, not exactly an old age home, but, you know, assisted living facility, and then you're paying the bills for him. And so, but as soon as you stop paying the bills, he has to come out, because they've taken everything, all of his property, all of his money, sold his house, and then you have to pay the bills. So that's the same thing as the pinda. That is why a son is called Putra, and a daughter is called Putri, which means saving the father or the mother or your ancestors, not only father and mother, but all your ancestors from hell. So you're paying the bills like that, keeping them in heaven. But this heaven is actually quite bewildering, and therefore we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata about how the demigods, even personalities like Brihaspati, what to speak of Indra, they get bewildered by their power and prestige. In fact, you find Indra even sometimes comes down to the earth planet being attracted to some woman like Ahalya. That story is there in the Ramayana, that he becomes attracted to the wife of Gautama Rishi, and he takes on the form of Gautama Rishi to have a relationship with her. And then after that, Gautama Rishi discovers Indra and curses Indra to lose his masculinity. And Indra has to have a operation performed so that the testicles of a ram are attached to him, so he again becomes masculine and can enjoy life. I mean, so many foibles are there, so many problems are there in the heavenly planets. There's so many stories. It's almost like that, you know, the Greek mythology that you read, that the course, they have demigods there too, equivalent. Like there's Thor, who is the god of thunder, or Zeus, who's the god of thunder, which is equivalent to Indra. How they're engaged in so many activities, getting bewildered by their power and prestige. In fact, Queen Kunti states in the Bhagavatam that Janma Aishwarya Shutasya Shibirena Mana Adapuman, that the things that bewilder us in this material world keep us from surrendering to Krishna, our attachment to our good birth, you know, our family name. Those who are in India can understand that. Just like if you have a name Sharma or Trivedi or Chaturvedi, you become very, very attached and you lord it over others who you consider to be lesser than you. Or even, of course, in India you have this principle, not a principle, but this concept of untouchables or lower caste people, and you exploit others. So there's Janma Aishwarya, which is wealth, Shutasya, when one is very learned or intelligent, and also Shribir, when one is very attractive, beautiful. So these things bewilder one. So in the heavenly planets, all these things are present to a higher degree than here. In fact, when the residents of the heavenly planets look at us, in general, they see us just like we would see frogs. For example, you know, we look at a frog, and very few of us, I think, would kiss a frog. Of course, when I was young, you know, we'd pick up frogs and probably dissect them, right? That was unfortunate. Like Prabhupada would say about the people who study biology, one of his comments was, poor frogs, because they were cutting up frogs. So they see us like that. So in the heavenly planets, it's just so nice. It's like the best Bollywood film running for many, many hundreds or thousands of years. And no one gets sick and all that other stuff. So the heavenly planets are not a good place. But another reason why this earth planet is a good place is because Krishna appeared here. Not only Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. And specifically, we have India, which is basically all the rivers in India are holy places. And there's so many locations where the pastimes of Krishna took place. Not so much in Calcutta, but when you go to Mayapur, of course. Like, it was interesting when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was interacting with Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj. He would consider Calcutta the place of Kali, you know, Calicut. So, but in general, India is just a very, very holy place. People are naturally inclined towards religion. It's the birthplace of religion. It's the oldest culture in the earth planet, because we don't accept what the anthropologists and the archaeologists say. They're mainly concentrated on the Middle East, considering that to be the source of mankind, following Darwin's theory. But we know that culture has been existent in India for billions or millions of years. So India especially, when we talk about Bharatavarsha, we're especially talking about India. In another sense, we could be talking about the whole world, because at one point, the whole world was under the jurisdiction of Yudhisthira Maharaj and his predecessors. So we have a very special benediction being born here on this planet. And especially those born in India, like Prabhupada would mention, quote this verse many, many times, Bharata Bhumate Hoila Manusa Janma Jar Janma Sardaka Karikara Parupakar. That is your duty, Prabhupada would say to those who were born in India, to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. So some of you here were born in India. And even if you were born in Bangladesh, that's part of India. Used to be part of India. So you have a special duty to help people all over the world and help people in India. So that's the first point here. Second point is, Prabhupada here talks, as he does in many other places, about surrendering to Krishna. So this point of surrendering to Krishna is a very interesting point, because many people have a misconception of what it means to surrender to Krishna. And they invent their own system of surrendering to Krishna, or think that they're surrendered to Krishna when they're not actually surrendered to Krishna, or think they're in contact with Krishna when they're not in contact with Krishna. Just like you have Maya Sita, who Ravana kidnapped. We know that Ravana didn't actually kidnap the real Sita, he kidnapped Maya Sita. But he thought he was kidnapping Sita. But in fact, he got Durga. And of course, Durga means to move with great difficulty or to cause you difficulty. And so that's the same thing with Krishna. Many people think they have Krishna, but they don't have Krishna because the basic point is they're not connected in the proper way with Krishna through disciplic succession. I was making this point in Fiji. We were celebrating Ram Nomi a few weeks ago. You all know who Lord Rama is? No. Anyway, Rama is an incarnation of Krishna, for those of you who don't know. And he was married to Sita Devi, but I'm not going to tell the whole story. So in Fiji, they have many of these Ram Mandalis. That means little temples in each village. And in these Ram Mandalis, they're chanting the name of Ram, Sita Ram, right? And so when they're chanting the name of Sita Ram, they're also reading, not from the Valmiki Ramayana, from the Tulsidas Ramayana. And many times after they do this ceremony of chanting Ram Nam and reading from the Tulsidas Ramayana, they engage in intoxication right afterwards. You know, that's their feast program. It was like on Sunday feast, today's the Sunday feast, you know, we'd all celebrate, hear some Krishna Katha, and then after that we'll all take intoxication together. But that could be kind of weird. The type of intoxication they have in Fiji, Nityananda knows this, it's called kava. It's like a muscle relaxant. You know, it really makes you feel that, you know, the whole world is just, it just relaxes you so much, you're thinking peace and love, and people stay up all night long talking about it. So the reason I'm talking about this is not to criticize what's going on, but to make a specific point. Now, they think that they're in contact with Lord Ram. However, if they were in contact with Lord Ram, and my proposition is that after years and years, because many of these people have been doing it their whole lives, of doing Ram Nam and hearing from the Ramayana, why haven't they given up their desires? Isn't it? And it's interesting. It's an interesting point. I made that to the devotees in Fiji. They think they're surrendering to Ram. And they're chanting Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava, Raja Ram, Pati Kapala, Sita Ram. And all that other stuff. I mean, practically every week or several times a week they're doing that. So why aren't the holy names working? I mean, it's a Hare Krishna, you know. We know by chanting, it purifies the heart, gives you a taste for all the nectar that you're always anxious for, isn't it? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Well, what's happening? Well, my explanation, and actually this is according to Shastra, it's not my concocted explanation. My explanation is they're not actually chanting Ram Nam. Now that comes as a shock. They're chanting Namabash. Namabash is a reflection, just like we have Maya Sita is a reflection of the real Sita. Namabash, this benefit. We're not talking negatively about Namabash. Haridas Thakur in the Namachintamani. So he mentions the benefits you get free from karma, from namabhas, and even if you chant the holy names accidentally or jokingly or saying the name of something else, like you're saying, like if you're saying, I'm going to Ramada Inn today. Isn't it? Where are you staying tonight? Ramada Inn. Or like the Muslims say, haram, haram, how horrible. I mean, that's Namabash. But it's not the Shuddhanama. There's a difference. Shuddhanama is the spiritual name. One is a reflection of the name, which can give you liberation. But not liberation, it won't take you back to Godhead. It's not going to... When we talk about liberation, let's be very clear. We mean being liberated from karma. Like Ajamil, when he chanted Namabash, of course he was chanting Narayan, 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 meaning his son, he didn't get to go back to Godhead until he chanted the pure name. He got liberated from the Yamadutas, right? But then, after he got liberated, his lifetime was extended to a certain extent. He had to engage in austerity and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and then he chanted the pure name. Because the point is, the name of God descends. Goloka era premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It doesn't ascend, I mean, it helps us ascend, but the name descends. It comes down from the Loka Vrindavan. Or Ayodhya in the spiritual world, or Vaikuntha Loka if you're chanting the name Narayan, 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 Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya. It descends. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the name is not simply, the pure name or the spiritual name, is not simply evoked by the tongue and the lips and the vocal cords. It's that that's not how the name comes. The name comes down. In other words, you have to be connected in the cyclic succession in order to get the holy name, the pure spiritual name of Krishna. And look, just like we see nowadays in America, there's, and all over the Western world, and even in India, there's so many people who chant bhajans, all these different groups. Some of them are Mayavadis, some of them are Brahma Kumaris, or whatever they are. Some of them even chant the Gayatri mantra as a kirtan. Isn't it? They have this Gayatri group, and they chant the first line of Gayatri, you know, like a kirtan. They all dance around all the chants. And basically, we also see they're not getting purified because they're not actually chanting the name. They're chanting a reflection of the name. And of course, not only are they chanting a reflection of the name, but there's the statement in the Hari Bhakti Shudaya, Vaishnava Mukod Girnam Putam Harikatam Ritam Shavananayava Kartavyam Shavachista Yatapayam, that it's also like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So it's dangerous. And you know, many times we find devotees like listening to these, I mean, ISKCON devotees, listening to these chants of people who are even against Krishna. You know, they're either Pakamayavadis, that's an interesting statement, that's a contradiction, Pakamayavadi. If you think about it, you know, it's saying a good bad person, right? Or an honest criminal. He's an honest dacoit. So Pakamayavadi. I mean, it's actually a funny statement. It's called an oxymoron, where you contradict, have two contradictory words right next to each other. So the devotees sometimes listen to this, and they're actually getting contaminated or putrefied instead of purified. So not only is it not the name, but they're also getting all these, the karma bij and all the other bij. Bij means, of course, a creeper or seed. And they're getting all these things that interfere with the growth of the Bhakti Lata bij. So Prabhupada said, quoting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one must hear the name chanted by coming from the lips of a pure devotee. So this is perhaps the most important thing. And also has to follow the instructions of the pure devotee, otherwise it's not only not the pure name, but it's nama-parada. So we have to avoid nama-vas and nama-parada, those two things. So the connection, the point I'm making is to surrender to Krishna, the connection to the disciplic succession is absolutely essential. Without that connection, there's no surrender to Krishna. One is simply on the mental platform, concocting his own means of surrendering to Krishna. So therefore, as followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, our surrender to Krishna is surrender to Srila Prabhupada's vani, Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Those two things can't be separated. And when people leave the Krishna Conscious Movement, leave the association with Srila Prabhupada, like Prabhupada made a very heavy statement. He said, they're living an hallucination, which is interesting. Now, hallucination means that you're thinking something exists when it doesn't, or you're seeing something, you know, some mirage, like we see a mirage in the desert, see water in the desert, or you think you are something that you're not. That's also an hallucination. There's different types of hallucinations. Those of us who are from the 1960s are very expert in understanding hallucinations, right? Because frankly, everybody was taking the LSD and the other drugs at that time. So hallucinations is like, that was desirable in the 1960s. Are you hallucinating? Oh, yes. That's very nice. In the 1960s, you wanted to hallucinate. So Prabhupada gave that very heavy statement because it is a fact. When one disconnects, and that statement is not given in criticism of people who are following other bona fide gurus. So sometimes that's also misunderstood, that people will criticize other spiritual organizations or even other Gaudiya groups. No, we shouldn't do that. They have their guru or their acharya, and we don't want to disturb their faith. However, if one accepts his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, joins ISKCON, and later on neglects the order of Srila Prabhupada, he's disconnected at that point. When you're disconnected, it may look the same, it may feel the same, but because you have imperfect senses and you make mistakes, you don't know that you're not connected anymore. It's something like, I use this example many times, like the plug, the electric plug. I think this in Fiji we call it the PowerPoint. Isn't it? PowerPoint. It's interesting, PowerPoint, electric plug. You got to learn all this different language wherever you are. Like the drugstore is called the chemist there. And the doctor is called the surgery. You know, someone went to the doctor and he said, I'm going to the surgery. I said, oh, I feel real bad for you. He said, no, I'm just going to see a regular examination. So just like the PowerPoint or the electric plug in the wall, you don't have one here. If it's not connected to the powerhouse, it looks the same. You really can't tell the difference until you put something in it. You know, you attach a fan or whatever other electrical device you're going to plug in it. So the same way with someone who leaves or cuts themselves off from a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, then the name may sound the same to someone. They're quoting Shastra may sound the same, but it isn't the same. It doesn't have that spiritual focus in it. So in order to surrender to Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada here says again and again and again, one has to surrender to the Bani of the spiritual master. I mean, the Vapu is one thing. One serves this Vapu when the Vapu is present. But Prabhupada said, most important, and there's many quotes, one has to serve the Vani. By serving the Vani, even when the Guru is not present, or the Acharya is not present, one can develop a personal relationship with the spiritual master. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the planet, he was associated with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's a handful of times, maybe five times or something like that, Prabhupada was there. Yet he is the most intimate disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he was the one who took the order that was given to many disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that order to preach in the Western world, preach in English. He's the one who took it as his life and soul. So one who actually takes Prabhupada's instructions and vani as his life and soul has the most intimate relationship with Prabhupada. It's not that the disciples, the direct diction disciples of Prabhupada, have a special claim to having an intimate relationship with Prabhupada. That relationship can be had by each and every devotee who decides to take Prabhupada's mission as his life and soul. And that is surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna is non-different from surrender to the Vani of the Acharya. Okay, so we'll keep it short. Making some interesting points here. So any questions or comments about anything I said? This verse right here? Text 23, 5th canto, chapter 19, text 23. It's actually an important verse for preaching too to people from India, because it's very similar to this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that where Lord Chaitanya states, anyone who was born in the land of Manasu Janmajar, taken birth in the land of Bhartabhumi, should make his life perfect and Janmasarthaka Karikara Paru Upakar, and work for the benefit of others. That's a direct translation. I'm paraphrasing the translation. So, any other questions? Yeah, Drew.
That quote, is it, Prabhupada says, a number of things he can make advancement outside of this. Does he say the International Society for Krishna Consciousness?
Yeah.
Or does he say this Hare Krishna movement?
Oh, either one of the two. I think he says ISKCON.
I think he does say ISKCON.
I think he says ISKCON. From my remembrance, he says ISKCON, or I think he says International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And but he's specifically referring to his followers. I mean, one has to be careful not thinking that he's referring to those who are followers of another bona fide guru in the Gaudiya tradition. You know, we don't go around saying to people who are followers of, let's say, some Prabhupada's God brothers or disciples of Prabhupada's God brothers, that you're living in hallucination. Because that's not necessarily true. But those who join ISKCON, connect with Prabhupada, who is, practically speaking, the greatest acharya of all time, because Prabhupada has done... When we talk about... Actually, I give a course on this, about what a founder acharya is. Even Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur never took the term founder acharya as an appellation in reference to himself. It's interesting, isn't it? And even Rūpa Goswami didn't take that term in reference to himself. But Prabhupada insisted on that term. When devotees would publish books and they didn't have that term there, Prabhupada would get extremely upset and actually say that the poison from his godbrothers had entered the society. In other words, the criticism of his godbrothers. So because Prabhupada did something, I mean, on the level of the great founder acharyas of the disciplic succession, founder acharyas mean, of course, first we have, you know, Lakshmi and Rudra, that's Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, and Lord Brahma. And then the next generation of founder acharyas are like Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, and others. But so Prabhupada did something on that level or even greater, whereas he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and even to really low-class people. I mean, Malechas. I mean, people who are keeping animals in their houses. I mean, that may sound like something that's not so bad, those of you from America, because you like cats and dogs. But, you know, doing things, you know, eating beef. I mean, even in India, usually a Hindu won't eat beef. You know, they'll go to KFC, but they won't eat beef. But so Prabhupada spread it amongst the lowest class of people. And he turned them into preachers of Krishna consciousness, you know, sannyasis and gurus. And amazing. I mean, the transformation Prabhupada evoked in his followers is simply amazing. And that transformation is going on even today. So another point about the Shudanama, we say it should be heard from the pure devotee, come to the lips of the pure devotee, but he can also empower others. So someone who follows Śrīla Prabhupāda strictly is empowered also to give the pure name. So we have a special prerogative or a special assignment given by His Divine Grace Śrīla Prabhupāda to give the pure name to others. So we have that ability, even though we may not be pure. If one follows purely, one can act in the same way. One's connected to the power. So it's very important to keep our connection. Yes, yeah, so one who leaves that connection, called Mariyada Vyatikrama, I mean, he's violating etiquette, stepping over the head, then there's not that focus anymore. And plus, if one leaves ISKCON, one is not part of this wonderful mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda to change the whole world. One could be part of a mission to make a temple here and there or a mosque here and there. But the mission, Śrīla Prabhupāda's vision, was to actually change the whole world, not just have a movement, but to literally have governments influenced, have people all over the world chanting the Lord's holy names. I mean, Prabhupāda's vision was all-encompassing. It wasn't just this and that. So therefore, those of us who understand Prabhupada may within Śrīla Prabhupāda Society, serving Śrīla Prabhupāda Society, assisting in Śrīla Prabhupāda Society. Yeah.
What is the definition of chanting the holy name of the Lord? Because sometimes different people, means different kind of sectarian people, are chanting different mantras. But Mahamantra is the name of the Lord.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay,
so first of all, Lord Chaitanya says, Nangamakari Bahudad Nijasarva Shaktis, that the Lord has established, has invested his transcendental potency in all of his holy names. And of course, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion, the Harinam Chintamani. Like, there's primary names and secondary names. You know, the secondary names are in reference to Krishna's position, like Paramatma and things like that. The primary names are in reference to Krishna as a person. God is a person, like Govinda, Gopal. So any of those names, if we receive the name in disciplic succession, are potent. So sometimes in preaching, like if one's preaching in a yoga center or something like that, you may have to chant Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya, Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. And then eventually, then you do give them the Hare Krishna mantra after some time. But to introduce them, sometimes people have this, may have an impression, misimpression of who the Hare Krishnas are. And they may be like a little skittish, like thinking, you know, the Hare Krishna, those are bald people, you know, who run around in bed sheets on the street. I don't want any part of them. They just asked me for a donation in the French Quarter. Of course, they left through my wife. But they just, I don't want anything to do with those Hare Krishnas. They got me again. I remember when the devotees were distributing the airports, it was like that, you know, the people would approach, be approached by a devotee. Sometimes it was really not so nice. They would be pinning flowers sometimes rather than distributing books. Even one time I went through an airport, I was wearing Western clothes because I was going to a printer, I was working for the BBT at that time, and one brahmacharini pinned me up. You know, I was a brahmachari. And I was a sannyasi at that time, I think. And a lady came, you know, one sweet young brahmacharini came and pinned me, put a flower, here, and I said, I'm a sannyasi. She jumped back about 20 feet when I said that. So people... Sometimes, you know, devotees have, or people who are not devotees have an impression about us for things we've done, like at the airports. You know, they were chased after devotees in the airport. So sometimes we may have to start chanting something else. But after a while, they come and they are able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if we can get them chanting any bona fide name of God that we have received in disciplic succession, that's the key. We have to receive that name in disciplic succession. And it says that Sampradaya Vinhai Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha. If you are chanting a mantra you haven't received in disciplic succession, it doesn't have any effect. I mean, it's Nama Bhash, but as far as the purifying of the heart, the purity, getting rid of the anarthas and all that, it's not going to work. Like we talked about the people in Fiji who are chanting Ramnam, they're not getting rid of their anarthas. I mean, they're just the same anarthas are there after 40 years of chanting Ram Nam, isn't it? Because they're not connected. They're not chanting Shuddhanam. They're chanting a reflection of the Shuddhanam. It's like Raman who had a reflection of Sita Devi rather than actual Sita Devi. So, yeah. So any name that we've received, you don't have the right to teach people mantras that you haven't received in their bona fide mantras. In other words, and also you've been instructed how to chant those mantras. We shouldn't be chanting Gayatri mantras publicly and dancing, because even though we've received it, we've been instructed not to chant it publicly like that. So, does that make sense? Yeah, but Govinda Jaya Jaya. Panchatattva, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, like that. We may chant that too. But ultimately, Hare Krishna, that's the Maha Mantra. That's the mantra for deliverance in this age of color. Any other questions? Yeah, true.
It's probably a stupid question.
People always say that.
But we always, like you said in the class earlier, that the demigods, they wish they could take birth in the earthly plane.
Yeah.
Because the duration of life is short. My question would be, like we say that we knew because there's ants, everyone lives 100 years, relative.
The relative,
they're living their 100 years in the end, and they have no idea how they're going to live in this gigantic being, you know, that could squash out their existence. In the same way, the demigods are looking at us, and, you know, but they live their 100 years, relative.
Yeah.
So why, my question is, why... Is it more advantageous necessarily to be here to cultivate Krishna consciousness and be able to, I mean, it's...
Well, you have Krishna appeared here. There's more misery here. I mean, just like the last week or two, I practically attended so many funerals I can't remember. And these were young people who died. You know, 47, 50. You know, Fiji, we had quite a few funerals. This nice lady, Sachi Mata, her father died. I just attend a funeral, be at her house. And then in New Zealand, people, we have people dying. In Australia, we have people dying. It's all over the place. I mean, just somehow or other, I was confused. And also, a lot of babies being born, too. It's interesting, you know, people coming and going. It's like a revolving door. The material world is like a revolving door. You come in, you go out. So you don't really see that in the heavenly planets. You know, you don't see like the people. There's no hospitals there. And everything, like everything's so perfect. I mean, imagine you walk out in the street and every woman is gorgeous. It'd be hard to keep your eyes off of them. Isn't it? And, or every man is handsome, for those of you who know ladies here. But every man is just like the Terminator. Anyway. I don't know. You know, I don't know what a handsome man looks like. But anyway, every man is like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, it's just like every man, every woman, and then, you know, it's always perfect weather, not too hot, not too cold, there's no police there. You can do Hari Nam, there's no police, but so you become forgetful. You become forgetful. I mean, look at Indra. I mean, Indra tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan because they interfered with his false prestige. You know, he was thinking, who's this tiny boy Krishna? He's stopping my worship. Let me kill all of them. Can you imagine that? He was so much overcome with false pride, which led, you know, Jayato Vishak Pum Sang Sangha Stesha Pajayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kama 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 Pajayate, that he succumbed to anger. Can you imagine how much pride there was? When you're so, I mean, Indra's so handsome. His eyes all over his body. Kind of nice. But anyway, Indra's so handsome, and, you know, people, and even Ravana. People have a misconception about Ravana, thinking he's an ugly Rakshasa. He was so handsome that when he kidnapped all those girls, they voluntarily gave in to him because they thought, you know, we had an ugly husband before. Ugly, poor, even if he was a king, you know. But compared to Ravana, it's just like, nobody could compare. He was intelligent and had all these other qualities, except he didn't have devotion to Krishna. So when one has all these opulences, it causes one to forget. Therefore, Krishna says, Yashaham anugrinami harishe tadanam shanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything, so he's bereft. People disrespect him. And he's bereft of like society, friendship, and love, and then all he can do is just chant Hare Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna's name. So that happens. Of course, Krishna does what's best for each and every one of us, so don't worry, it's not going to take away your family today. Maybe he would. Maybe he will, but that's his prerogative. But he does what's best. And we should take that as an impetus to surrender to Krishna. So anyway, so the earth planet is a better place. Plus, you go to India, and everywhere you go, there's Krishna's pastimes. There's giant deities of Hanuman in some villages. You go through Andhra Pradesh, and there's deities of Hanuman, like, bigger than this building, taller than this building there. When you enter into certain villages in Andhra Pradesh, deities of Garuda, you go to Tirupati, Tirumala. And practically, most of the people have a spiritual name. And just by being born in India, you know, many times, unless they're Muslims, they're given a spiritual, even Muslims, but Muhammad this, Muhammad that, you know, that's the name of a pure devotee. What a wonderful place. And you go bathing in the river, you get purified. Of course, nowadays, the Jamuna River doesn't come to Vrindavan anymore. It's just the Delhi sewage, so don't go bathing in what you think is the Jamuna River, because you get extremely sick. Many people have to go to the hospital. Bathing in the Jamuna River bed. So, what a wonderful place. It's not that you bathe in the Mississippi and you get purified. You may die. You bathe in the Mississippi. Just like when you had Katrina here, the Mississippi overflooded. It's not that everybody got purified and became devotees. Of course, the devotees here is very interesting. When there was the flood, they were thinking it's just like Mayapur flooding and swimming in the water. And I had to call them up and tell them, no, that's not appropriate. You know, there's all sorts of stuff in here is not purified, but the Ganges is purifying, the Jamuna is purifying. I mean, all these rivers. Really is such a wonderful place. Such a wonderful place. You can't help but remember Krishna when you're in India. So that's a special place for spiritual advancement. The Lord performed his pastimes practically in every village of India.
Just very quickly. Because you triggered a memory. Years ago, I heard that, the devotees were painting for the books. You know, the Prabhupada was translating.
Yeah.
And somebody painted one of the countries, like you said, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and their idea of a handsome man is he's all what they call.
So they painted Krishna like that.
They call ripped.
Yeah.
With the, they call it
the abs.
Abs.
Exactly.
They call it rippling. Muscles. And Prabhupada saw the painting, he said, no. He said, they painted Arjuna like that or something, Prabhupada said, no, they were naturally strong, but they didn't look, all.
Yeah, they didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Rippling muscles, but they.
Yeah. In the heavenly planets, they don't look like a bodybuilder on the earth planet. But they're handsome. I mean, they're extremely attractive. And even the apsaras circulate freely to people. They're like considered the heavenly prostitutes, but it's not like your streetwalkers here that you have in the French Quarter.
Prabhupada said if you took the most beautiful woman on this earth planet...
Yeah.
He said she would look like a frog in comparison to the beauty of the heavenly damsels.
Yeah. Everything is relative in this world. Of course, in comparison to the attractiveness of Krishna, then even the heavenly damsels and heavenly denizens, they look like frogs, or even worse. So what to speak of us?
There was that story of the sage who was meditating, they sent some heavenly...
Wing to distract him or something. Yeah, well, the sage was Narayan Rishi. He was meditating, incarnation of the Lord in Arjuna. He was meditating, and Indra sent some apsaras to distract him, and he just yawned. And he produced an apsara, a beautiful apsara that was Urvasi. And he said, if you want her, you can take her back with you. That was it. Indra came, and he disturbed, Indra tries to disturb the meditation of sages from time to time because he's envious. He thinks they're trying to take over Indraloka. So you see, in the heavenly planets, there's so much lust and anger and envy. And that's Kamaesha Kravesha, Rajaguna Samutva. It really interferes with spiritual life. Spiritual life means to come to the mode of goodness. Sama, tama, tapakshu, chel. As we hear in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so I think it's time to end. We got a big day today. All glorious to His divine grace, Shrila Prabhupada, Shrila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.